Hello, it's Jill Barrage here, and I'm joined by David Arson, and we're going to do another preview of the concerts and music that's coming up in St Albans and Hoppenden over the coming weeks. And on Saturday the 30th of March, Voix de Vivre are performing in St Peter's Church in St Albans at 7:30. That's quite a mixed programme of music, isn't it?
It is. Voix de Vivre in St Peter's, as you said, doing a programme of German choral music, ranging from Bach to Schoenberg, and including Brahms, Mendelssohn and Rheinberger on the way. The choir is conducted by Neil McKenzie and Alex Flood is the organist. The Bach is the Cantata 118 and the motet Comme Jésus Comme, Psalm 92 by Schubert and three psalms by Mendelssohn, the opus 78. Brahms' Fest und Gedenksprüche, and the concert concludes with Schoenberg's Frieda auf Erden, opus 13. This is a bit of a challenge for choirs, the Schoenberg, though the music has been described as unsettlingly beautiful, and it's a good way of reminding ourselves that Schoenberg was, in fact, the last of the Romantic composers, extending the traditionally opposing schools of Brahms and Wagner, and was without doubt one of the most influential and important figures of 20th century music. The Nazis banned his music as degenerate because they were modernist and atonal, and he immigrated to the States in 1934. Some of his music is indeed atonal, which means it doesn't have a sort of central home key, though he himself disliked the term atonality, and he's probably best known for developing the 12-note technique, in which all the 12 notes of the chromatic scale have equal importance. So Frieda auf Erden, Peace on Earth, is a relatively early piece and well worth hearing as an introduction to what some people think of as a difficult composer. There was a famous story I'm reminded by Beecham, Thomas Beecham, of whom there are. The stories are legend, of course. Somebody once said to him something about Schoenberg. Did he know Schoenberg? Oh, no, he said, but I think I stepped in some once.
oh, dear.
Yes.
So that concert is on Saturday the 30th of March. It's Voix de Vivre. They're singing at St Peter's Church in St Albans. 7:30 is the start. That same evening, but over in Harpenden, the Harpenden Choral Society are going to be performing in the High Street Methodist Church.
Yes, they're doing Handel's great oratorio, Samson. The Bishop of London banned him from putting on biblical stories on the operatic stage. And that's really why we have oratorios, because thanks to the Bishop of London and this sort of nonsense ruling that he made, that's why we have the Messiah, and the oratorio itself has a musical form.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
In fact, Handel began work on Samson immediately after Messiah and completed the first act in September 1741. The premiere was given in Covent Garden in February 1743 and was a great success, leading to a further seven performances in its first season. That was the most that Handel had achieved. And it includes two famous arias, Total Eclipse, which is the moment when Samson is blinded, as a wonderful tenor aria, and the famous Let the Bright Seraphim for the soprano and trumpet.
I think that's been used on a few royal occasions, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
So stirring. So that's the 30th of March, just to recap. Harpenden Choral Society in the Methodist Church on the High Street in Harpenden, 7:30 start. So we move now to April, and the Lee Singers hosting Bob Chilcott Singing Day. This is St George's School in Harpenden.
That's right. His music was sung by Mosaic last month in their jazz concert at St Peter's. He's an ex-member of the King's Singers. This is Bob Chilcott. He is now a very successful composer and conductor, and I expect his day with the Lee Singers to be very popular. They will, of course, be working on his music, in particular 5 Days That Changed the World, River Bride, Evening Hymn, and a selection of jazz folk songs for choir. I think the day runs between 10 and 5. I think that's what happens. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and finishes at 5 in the evening. And it's a sort of bring, you know, you presumably take a packed lunch and immerse yourself in Bob Chilcott's music for the day, led by the composer.
Very good indeed. So that's Saturday the 6th of April. The Lee Singers are hosting Bob Chilcott's Singing Day at St George's School, which is in Sun Lane in Harpenden. I guess the Lee Singers have got a website, so it might just be worth
checking on
a website.
Absolutely, yes.
But as you say, it could well be very popular because
I think it will be.
He's a local celebrity, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
The same evening, Saturday the 6th of April, that is, the St Albans Bach Choir are performing in the Cathedral in St Albans, 7:30. This is somewhat different, this programme.
Yes, this is another musical celebrity, John Rutter, who's coming to St Albans to conduct his Requiem and Magnificat. And they're also going to sing Bernstein's Chichester Psalms under their regular conductor, Andrew Lucas. Just before I say something about the Chichester Psalms, let's just have a listen to the Sanctus from John Rutter's Requiem.
Very popular piece of music,
yes,
that,
indeed.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Deservedly so.
Yes.
Now, the Chichester Psalms, which is also in their programme, was commissioned for the 1965 Southern Cathedrals Festival, held that year at Chichester Cathedral, and was conducted by John Birch, who was then Master of the Music at Chichester. The Southern Cathedrals which take part in this festival are Chichester, Winchester and Salisbury. And the work was commissioned by Walter Hussey, who was then Dean of Chichester, and will be remembered as the champion of many works of art. Music from Benjamin Britten, Edmund Rubra, Gerald Finzi, Malcolm Arnold, William Walton and Leonard Bernstein, painting from Graham Sutherland, a tapestry from John Piper, and stained glass by Marc Chagall. He was, you might say, quite a talent spotter.
He was.
And a huge supporter of art in the church. He was started off when he was at St Matthew's Northampton. That was where he was when he commissioned Britten to write Rejoice in the Lamb. And then the sort of commissioning habit became part of him, and he commissioned works of art right through until he retired from being Dean of Chichester.
He had a good eye and a good ear.
Absolutely. The Chichester Psalms is in three movements, scored for choir and orchestra, with a boy soloist. Leonard Bernstein stipulated that the solo part must be sung by a boy or a countertenor, but not a woman. I'm not sure how the present political climate would have coped with that. But, of course, the piece is Hebrew. I mean, it's in the Psalms, which comprise the text, are sung in Hebrew, which poses something of a problem for choral societies these days, because some of the music goes along at a fair old pace. And because, of course, there are no... Or when he wrote it, shall I put it, there were no women involved in Hebrew worship. I think in the 60s, probably was before the days of the first female rabbi.
Oh.
I don't know when Julia Neuberger came to prominence, but I suspect it was after the 60s.
Yes.
And so his stipulation that this part should be sung by a boy wasn't quite as horrendous as we think of it now.
No, well, at that time it wouldn't have raised an eyebrow, really.
No,
probably,
not really,
would it?
Not really, no.
But it will now.
Yeah. Oh, it would now, yes. Yeah, but it's a great piece, really good piece.
And quite an amazing thing that we've got John Rutter conducting there.
Indeed.
Which is rather
yes,
nice.
Yes, yes. He's had quite a relationship with the Bach Choir. They've been up to and done concerts in the Albert Hall of his music. And he's certainly, I remember him coming down to St Albans when we made a disc of his music. And he was wasn't conducting, but sat in the control room and gave it the okay.
So that's another concert on the 6th of April. The St Albans Bach Choir singing in St Albans Cathedral, starting at 7:30, and the programme is Rutter and Bernstein. And a third concert on Saturday, the 6th of April. Yes, what a choice we have. This is the Harding Choir, and they're singing at the High Street Methodist Church in Harpenden.
They are. They're doing Rossini's Petit Messe Solennelle. As I've remarked before, this piece is neither petite or solennelle, and was described by Rossini, who had retired from composing operas 30 years before, as the last of the sins of my old age. It's deservedly popular with both singers and audiences, as this excerpt from it will demonstrate. This is the Et Vitam Venturi from the Creed of the Rossini Petit Messe Solennelle.
Rossini's Petit Messe Solennelle will be performed by the Harding Choir on Saturday the 6th of April at the High Street Methodist Church in Harpenden, and it starts at 7:30. The next day, Carillon are performing at St John's Church in Southdown in Harpenden, and they're doing what, David?
They're going to sing the Schütz Matthew Passion. It's going to start at 6:00. Admission is free because this is an attempt to bridge the gap between the concert platform and a church service. The idea being that congregations can make it part of their keeping of Lent to hear the singing of the Passion, and people who like the music of Heinrich Schütz from a concert point of view are very welcome to come as well, of course. It lasts just under an hour. Rogers Covey Crump is the evangelist and William Houghton is Christ. The piece is unaccompanied because when it was written, instruments were not allowed in the chapel at Dresden, which is the place for which it was written. And another interesting feature is that the part of Judas is sung by what Schütz described as a falsettist. In other words, a false voice. We'd now call it a countertenor, because countertenors are quite ordinary now. But in those days, it would be quite unusual. And he wanted the part of Judas, the betrayer of Christ, to be sung by a false voice. So we have a falsettist singing the part of Judas. The performance will be repeated the following Sunday at St Saviour's Church, Sandpit Lane, also at 6 o'clock. Also free admission.
And you're involved with this?
I'm conducting both of those, yes.
Oh, right. Well, you should come along for moral support, David. you won't probably need it. There should be a full audience,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, I don't know.
Well, so those two performances by Carrion, the first on Sunday, the 7th of April, at St John's Church in South Down, Harpenden, starting 6 o'clock. And the following Sunday, the venue is St Saviour's Church in St Albans, again a 6 o'clock start. And I think the performance is free, you don't need a ticket, but there's a retiring collection, obviously, to show your appreciation.
Indeed. And I should say there'll be a short talk before the performance, 5 or 10 minutes, just, you know, setting the scene and explaining how it's, why it is like it is.
I have to confess, I'd never heard of Heinrich Schütz.
No, well, the thing is about Schütz, if Schütz hadn't written his Passion, it's unlikely that Bach would have composed his, because Schütz was one of the first composers to do that. I'm something of a Schütz freak myself. I've always been a great fan of Heinrich Schütz. I sang in the Schütz Choir under Roger Norrington for a long time,
right,
and have tried to perform a lot of Schütz in my conducting ever since.
And to have got Rogers Covey Crump as one of the soloists is quite something. Okay, so the last concert that we're covering this time is on the 27th of April. St Albans Chamber Choir are going to be performing in the Cathedral in St Albans, half past seven. This is Golden Jubilee Celebrations.
Yes, they've had a long relationship with a choir from Worms in Germany, the Wormser Kantorei, and they've gone over there and the Worms Choir have come here for many years. Worms, of course, being, of course, the famous town for the Diet of 1521. Diet was an assembly of the Holy Roman Empire to decide how to respond to the teachings of Martin Luther. And now I'm generally rubbish at remembering dates, but I can always remember 1521, like generations of schoolboys before me, because they call it the Diet of Worms.
Yes, I was going to say.
Yes. The programme will also include Mozart's Coronation Mass, written for the cathedral at Salzburg, where Mozart had just been appointed court organist and composer in 1779, after 18 fruitless months trying to get a job in Paris. It was certainly performed at the coronation of Francis II in 1792, and the mass appears to have acquired the nickname the Konungsmesse, the coronation mass, at the imperial court in Vienna in the early 19th century, after becoming a preferred work for royal and imperial occasions. It's easy to see why, as this should be so, as it's not very long and is definitely celebratory in style. And to give you a flavour of that, here's the start of the Gloria.
Of the Gloria from Mozart's Coronation Mass. What else is in the programme, David?
Also, there is Handel's Zadok the Priest and Vaughan Williams's Dona Nobis Pacem. Now, this is an interesting piece. Vaughan Williams wrote this cantata in 1936 to mark the centenary of the Huddersfield Choral Society. And he chose his texts, sections from the Mass, poems by the American poet Walt Whitman, a political speech from John Bright, who was trying at that time to prevent the Crimean War, and sections of the Bible. He wrote it as a plea for peace by referring to recent wars and amidst growing fears of a new one. The piece is scored for orchestra and choir and two soloists, a soprano and a baritone. And the movements are, the first one's called Agnus Dei, which is the last section of the Roman Catholic Mass, which ends with the words Dona Nobis Pacem, give us peace. The second movement is called Beat, Beat, Drums, which uses the first of the Whitman poems, describing the drums and bugles of war bursting through doors and windows and disturbing the peaceful lives of scholars, church congregations and bridal couples. The third movement, Reconciliation, another Whitman poem, which finishes with the words Dona Nobis Pacem, sung by the soprano and flaunts hauntingly over the voices of the chorus. Next movement, Dirge for Two Veterans, is another Whitman poem about the horrors of the Great War, in which Vaughan Williams himself served as an ambulance driver, so he knew all about it. And then the piece finishes with the John Bright speech, and finally another Dona Nobis Pacem. This was a really heartfelt piece for Vaughan Williams and deserves to be better known. It was given its first performance at the Proms in 1964, which was a long time after it was written, and it was repeated last year, as it happens, but it's only been performed at the Proms twice, which I would say was unusual for a major British choral work, and it certainly deserves to be better known than it is. Anyway, I think the programme they've put together, an excellent combination of German and English music for such a special occasion for both choirs.
And I think we're going to finish today by hearing a little bit of the amazing Zadok the Priest.
I thought it would be nice to finish with something suitably celebratory. Here's the first entry of the choir in Handel's Great Zadok the Priest. Now this, like the Coronation Mass of Mozart, Zadok the Priest has been sung in every coronation since its composition in 1727 for the coronation of George II. So here's the first time the choir comes in Zadok the Priest.
A rousing way to finish our preview of the music that's coming up over the end of March and April. And I should just say before we close that our next In Concert will be the last weekend of April. So we'll hope to catch up with you then. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much, David, for taking us through the musical delights to come.
You're very welcome.